If you have a pen and a piece of paper, I'm only recommending, I'm only asking. You may want to write some of these things down. It's quite possible that we'll not get to the handout that you received when you came in. But if you don't, or if we don't, it's quite evident that the Holy Spirit didn't want us to get to it. I heard four things this week from different individuals that I felt as though should be addressed this morning. It's hard to pick one of the four to begin with, but I believe the Holy Spirit's allowed it up to me to pick them. So I'm going to pick with the one that means the most at this moment to me. If you would write this down, I am going in. I am going in and take back the revival from the enemy. I am going in and take back revival from the enemy. That is a war cry. That is enough is enough. Take your hands off of our revival. And by the authority we've been given, you're already a loser, and we're going to take back revival. Normally, when the Holy Spirit gives us a word here at the prayer center, we don't identify necessarily the individual that gave it, and we'll have a little bit more to say about that if we get to the handout. But in this case, I'm going to tell you who said that. It doesn't add authority to the word that was given. But it does help you to know this time who said it. That came from the lips of our pastor. That came from what I believe Gary is going to begin to call the head goose. But the bottom line of it is, we've had enough battle, and it's time to win it. And we are going to win it because it's already won. We're just going to place ourselves into it. The second thing that you might like to write down is the following. This is an individual who is speaking to another individual to lay sort of the background. But he's speaking to every single one of you that's sitting here. And I'll share more of that, hopefully, if we get to the handout. But you can write this one down. Moreover, I am full of joy when I think about where you're going. Moreover, I'm full of joy when I think about where you're going. That could be the Lord speaking to you. It could be another individual that knows where they're going and know that you're going with them. And they could be saying, moreover, I'm full of joy. We have many words from the Lord. It tells us this over and over again, how great pleasure he's in, how excited he is, on and on. Moreover, I'm full of joy when I think about where you're going. You can underline this, and you can capitalize this, and you can put it in bold print on your computer. Moreover, I'm full of joy when I think about where you're going. A place of authority through victory. A place of authority through victory. We're taking it back, the revival. A place of authority through victory. Full of strength, with a deeper relationship with the Father. Every one of you is included in that. The next one came forth Wednesday night. The day that we live in, I continually hear the scripture that says, to whom much is given, much is required. And that's not, that's just bringing us into some kind of level of laser focus and accountability. It's not a rebuke. It's not that we literally have more than the early church had, but it is a unique place where media and delivery of the word were truly doing greater things than the Lord did, as he told us we would be doing. So all we're doing is walking in it. It came forth Wednesday night, and I'm going to paraphrase. And if I get it wrong, Nathan can correct me. But he can't correct me during this service because he'd be out of order. But he can, you know, I firmly believe, and I know that you do too, if you make an error in public, before the Lord, you're accountable to correct it in public. If you make an error one-on-one, you're required to change it, to correct it, but one-on-one. So those individuals that end up having a mic or end up speaking to a staff or a group and they make an error, one of the quickest ways to lose the authority that the Lord's given you is you not go back and say, I just made an error, and I'm sorry, and I was wrong. This is what the Lord said Wednesday night. A time of the Holy Spirit's refreshing has come upon us right now. Not tomorrow, not next week, not next year, but a time of refreshing is upon us right now. You must, I must, we must reach out and receive it and dwell in it. You may hear it. You may hear it from on the audio tapes or wherever. You may hear it. But hearing it and knowing it is a major difference. And you can possess the refreshing. If you reach out and say, this is mine. It's not Leah's. It's mine. I take ownership of it. Now Leah's doing the same thing. This is mine. It's not Tim's. It's mine. And I'm going to be refreshed because I control my own destiny. Nobody else controls my destiny. I control it. And I make the decision to be refreshed, period. No matter who originally said it, no matter who the Holy Spirit was able to use their mouth to speak it, they may not even walk in the refreshment. Nathan will. I'm not throwing stones. He will. But the speaker does not necessarily own it and possess it and receive it. They were just the mouth that spoke it. If you have your Bibles, I said four, but there was really only three. I'm going to give you four or five scripture references for you to write down. Primarily, this is done so that the people on the internet will be able to write them down, look them up, and have them in their lap to eat while the message goes forth. First scripture is John 8:32. The next scripture is John 14:6. The next one is John 14:16. The next one is 2 Peter 1:12. And the last one is 1 John 2:20-21. And I will read them, and you're welcome to listen. John 8:32. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You need to notice, I need to notice, we need to notice, that the Lord didn't say that you need to hear the truth. He said you need to know it. All of us have heard and heard and heard and heard the word. But who we are today in the presence of the Lord is that truth that we know, that we have just not heard. Mark 4, so or so is the word, etc. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. John 14:6. Jesus said unto Thomas, in essence, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh unto me, the Father, no man cometh unto the Father, but by me. You must know him. You must know the truth. You must know the life. You must know the way. Once again, we've heard the scripture, but you being walking in the way and you knowing the truth and you having life is all in what you know, which is the word, which is the Lord Jesus. Pretty straightforward. John 14:16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Not part-time. Not come and visit. He will come and dwell with you. And he will be with you forever. Every moment of every day. 24/7. He is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. Heard about him, but they don't know him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. We're part of the body that he's addressing to say, and shall be in you. With you was okay. In you is far, far better. Far, far better. I'll leave that and let you meditate on that later. 2 Peter 1:12. Wherefore, I will not be negligent in putting you always in remembrance of these things, knowing that ye know them, but be established in the presence of the truth. I will never be negligent in putting you always in remembrance. Most of what I'm asked to share is really only putting you in remembrance. there are much better speakers or much better presenters than myself sitting before me, and I'm the first one to know it. And I continually say, "What? No, I won't go there." Bottom line of it is, I'm called to bring you into remembrance. I'm called to say the same thing over and over and over again until he has something else to say through me. If he doesn't have anything else to say, as Gary and David both taught, when you're finished, you're finished. Go sit down. Why steal your time? I'm called to help you redeem your time, not to steal it and waste your time. In part of that, refreshing your memory, look it up in the Amplified, so that you take ownership of it, etc., etc. Part of my remembrance, or bringing you into remembrance, is the Lord's present day speaking from 2014. You could go all the way back. You don't have time, and neither do I. So the Lord and the Holy Spirit knows that. So he tells us right now what we need now, today. Although he has said it 100 times or 1,000 times. And you can go back through and say, well, you said that then, and you said that then. Yes. But the only reason I'm saying it today is because your heart gave me the liberty to tell it to you one more time. Because I, the Holy Spirit, am not going to waste any of your time either. And I know everyone that is going to hear this message, he's already done the preparation of the ground for them to hear everything that's being said, or in the next service, or the next service, or the next service. Those individuals that are being led by the Holy Spirit, because he said, I can say this because their heart can receive it a little bit more, a little bit more. Some of the messages or presentations, more than messages, that have come forth, I'm amazed that the Lord goes back to 1997 or earlier and is saying the same thing again, because it's line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. And bottom line of it is, oh, I can take another step with them. I can give them just a little bit more of this precept. Okay, do I have a mouth that will say it? And he does. And so he's able to say it again. The present day speaking handout out there on the internet, etc. I was reminded that it's possibly that it's never been said before, but the present day speaking is the prayer center's blueprint. It's the prayer center's blueprint. It's the message that has come forth from the prayer center. It's its blueprint. I didn't choose the word blueprint. I don't take responsibility or any recognition that all of a sudden I'm that smart and chose the word blueprint. The blueprint been around, you know, before Noah. They didn't use the word blueprint. They said, I'm going to give you specific instructions, and you better write them down. You better write them down, because the pattern that I want for the ark, or the pattern that I want for the temple, or the pattern that I want for whatever, you better write it down, because it's today's word. It's for me now. Can you imagine Noah trying to build an ark without a pattern or without a blueprint? So consequently, when he gives the blueprint, he dots every I and crosses every T for everything that you need to know now to fulfill that portion of the blueprint. He's not going to tell you 10 years from now or 20 years from now. Very rarely. He may give you an overall vision, but to fulfill that vision, you're going to have to know the nitty-gritty as to how to get there, or et cetera, et cetera. All right? This is the blueprint of the prayer center. Where was I? Did I read John No, I didn't. I'm going to read John, 1 John 2, 20 and 21. And I'm going to read it out of the Amplified. It is in the King James, incidentally. But I'm going to read it out of the Amplified for the amount of time that the clock has given us. It's John writing to his children. It's John writing to a group of believers. It's the Holy Spirit that is writing it. John, all he thought was he was writing a letter. You know, of course, knowing John, he knew the voice of the Lord and he knew everything he was saying. He probably was saying, like everyone here, when the Lord gives you a word, I'm not that smart. I don't even have that particular single word in my dictionary. When you read through the words that the Lord's giving us, why did you ever use that word when I have to go and look it up in a dictionary because I don't understand what it means? Well, you must be hungry enough that you go do that. If you don't, and you're much smarter than I am in the natural, you may know exactly what the word means. But I need a dictionary sometimes. John, 1 John 2, verse 20 and 21, out of the Amplified. But you have been anointed by, you hold a appointment from, you have been given an unction from the Holy One. And you all know the truth. Or, you know all things. I write to you not because you are ignorant and do not perceive and know the truth, but because you do perceive and know it, and know positively that nothing false, no deception, no lie is of the truth. He was bringing correction. If you read the entire chapter, there had been false voices come into the body and they began to teach error. And they said, you're not allowed to eat certain food and etc. You can look it up. But he's saying to the prayer center, the things that I'm bringing forth now, I'm bringing them forth because you already know the truth. You want to live in the truth. You want to walk in the truth. And I'm bringing them forth so that there will be no error that you allow to come into your personal life by all of the errors that are coming forth. Stay in my word. And stay in it till you know it. Stay in it till you can hear the Holy Spirit say, be careful. Be careful of this doctrine. Be careful. Be careful. It is not what I, the Holy Spirit, have taught you. It's that unction. It's that inner witness. It's your conscience. We all have it. And we are all walking there. Okay, let's go to the handout. I believe this one that the Lord gave us has been read before and shared somewhat before in regards to the principles in it. It could have even been me that did it. But when he chose this to come forth, it's because someone needs to hear it, and someone needs to be reminded of it, and someone needs to be brought into remembrance of it. The reason it's laid out in this format is for you that want to keep notes, so I'm just going to read and comment. Hearing my words as my life to you, as father to my family. He is addressing the family. He's addressing every member of the family. It is not a broad brush. It is a brush that pulls everyone in that's in the family, not only the prayer center, but everyone in, and says, I'm addressing, as a father, I'm addressing my family. I acknowledge that you are my family. You're not a stranger. You're a kin. You know, you are part of the family. As a father to my family, I'm about ready to give you a key. For each one who picks up this key, it will be your staff of victory. If you don't pick up the key, you will not have victory. Many of you that will be counseling, not only individuals, but the world, and you're teaching, many of you, if they don't have this key, they will never have victory. You can't go around it. You can't get in that room without the key. I mean, that's what the key's for, agreed? You know, it's not a combination lock, could be, but it's a key that you put into your heart and turn it and open this room. Take each word I speak to you as if it is said only to you. If you think of it for someone else and not you, you have already erred one degree off. We're very familiar with one degree off. You've already erred, and an adjustment must be made in you towards truth. Isn't it nice that he said adjustment? Isn't it nice that he's calling us a family? Isn't it nice that he didn't say, hey, stupid, listen to what I'm saying? I mean, the love. I mean, your soul or the enemy will say, stupid, stupid. But I cannot find anywhere where he's ever called one of his children stupid. It's not in... He didn't invent that word. I mean, he doesn't have it in his heart. He doesn't have it in his mind. He doesn't have it in everything that he is. He's saying, all I'm asking you to do is just make an adjustment. Just... Incidentally, my son, when he came, he brought grace and truth. It's very difficult to make an adjustment without asking him for the grace to make the adjustment. Because the adjustment that you have to make, you don't step out here and try to make the adjustment without the Holy Spirit stepping out here with you. Take advantage of him. Okay, Holy Spirit, I have to make an adjustment. You're the one that said it. It's the heart of the Father through the mind of Christ. You're the one that said it. So don't leave me. I'm going to make this adjustment. So will you make it with me? Adjustment of the truth. Each word that I speak to you that is not specified to another is as if it is to you alone. When he told Moses to take his shoes off because he was on holy ground, that was a specific word to Moses. Agreed? He specified, Moses, take your shoes off. When he spoke through David, Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd, he spoke as much to you as he did to David because he's our shepherd. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He spoke to everyone. This is it. If you don't take ownership of it, you'll never be born again. So every word that comes forth, your mind, your soul, have to say, be still, or use that word that we're not allowed to use, and listen. Listen, soul. This is what my Father is saying in this word. In this word. Each word I speak to you that I do not specify to another as if it is for you alone. Just as in the days of old. Old Testament, right? Just as in the day, the new day dawned when Jesus rose from the dead. The days of the old, just as the days of the old. Those who heard my words often cut off the message in judgment of the messenger. So it is too often in the family of the prayer center. That's why there's no names attached to this. In the ones that were printing out. I use those. I choose who are willing, and my heart delights in that. I do the choosing. That's the way he identifies the first way. Here's the second way as you read it. I also use those I choose to help my family walk deeper in my love and truth, learning that it is not my messenger, but I who speak to you. I may have said this last week. This has been here in my heart for a while. We have people calling the prayer center saying, who has the service? Oh, I get to stay home and nurture my flesh. And I'm not critical, but I am telling the truth. Oh, if he's speaking, I might as well stay home. That's not why you weren't able to come Wednesday night, incidentally. It's not. I'm not throwing stones. I should be looking up. I should be looking at me and saying, how many times have I said, oh, okay, I don't need to go. It's okay if I don't come if the Lord says, you don't need to go. Stay in your prayer closet, or I have something else for you to do. The necessities that he's told us about that will transform me if I do the necessities. So he chooses two types of people for you personally. The first one is somebody's heart that is willing. And the second one is some individual that you may not think have any anointing whatsoever. And he brings a word. He brings a statement. He doesn't say, thus saith the Lord. He just brings you wisdom. And we have to be, especially the maturity of the family. More and more, there are going to be words that come forth that your soul has not fallen in love with the messenger, but your born again spirit. That is really great, because you recognize it. The three that I read earlier, you know one of them, but the other two came from two different individuals. No. What would Gary say? Nunya. I'm not going to tell you who. Because your born again spirit embraced it, almost rejoiced, and took great pleasure in it. And your soul may say, how could the Lord ever use that individual? So in some cases, we're making it easy and maybe too easy. But we don't want you to miss a single thing that the Father's saying, especially during this time of war. Is there any word of my word that was not recorded for you? Is not each one of my words recorded just for you? Amen and amen. So it is with the words I speak this day and the words I have spoken to you. If you will choose to hear each word I speak as me speaking to you, and choose to do what I ask you to do, you will not lose. Period. There's no defeat when we obey and walk in His word. If you will take each word that has come from me, all that has been said for you, and take them to yourself as if they are brand new, and sit with me and hear me speak them to you, you will be my disciples, and my life will come forth in you. We've been taught to meditate. We've been taught to simulate. We've been taught to sit in His presence. We've even been taught to take everything that He has said to you personally, make a document that we're calling the blueprint. And if you will take it and not treat it like it's brand new, He's saying, and take it to yourself as if they are brand new. They're not stale. They're alive. Boy. And sit with me and hear me speak them to you. That's meditation. That's where you take them from out there somewhere and put them in your heart and in your spiritual brain and the mind of Christ, and you just enjoy sitting and listening to what He said. I don't know how many of you have created the habit of reading them back to Him, but if you haven't, try it. You may like it. Matter of fact, you will. You'll thoroughly enjoy it, but it may take a while. And it's not like, Lord, you said this. In some cases, you need to do that. But in most cases, it turns into praise and worship. Lord, just look what you just said. I mean, you said this to me. This is mine. I take ownership of it. I become a great receiver. Wow. Is there anybody you want me to share it with? And in most cases, yes. Once you get it. And once the Holy Spirit's anointing your words that you have inside, you know, He speaks from your heart, right? You get it in your heart, and when you speak from your heart, the anointing comes with it. There's no option. He anoints the word. Agreed? He anoints the word. Get it in your heart. This key is my delight to give to you. I speak these things not in disappointment. See there? I'm not speaking these things in disappointment, but in joy that these words can be spoken to you. Out of 7 billion people on the face of the earth, He's able to speak this to you. To you. How many within His body? How many within His family? He's not able to speak this to. But you've given Him the right. You've given Him your life to the point that He's able to speak these things to you. Right now. Not a year from now. He's unable to speak many things, many, many things, until you're able to receive it. We're looking for, what am I called to do? What am I called to do? And He's not able to share yet with you what you're able to do. But He has shared with you. I don't have my Bible here, so hold up my iPad. He has shared the entire Word of God with you, and He's chose to share the present day speaking with you. So if that's all you have and you feel like you don't have a blueprint, you already have one. It's all there. How many of you have received instructions from the Lord and you have said, no way, that's not possible? He never asks you to do something that you can do by yourself. Why would he give you something to do that would remove you from how he created you to have fellowship? I, as a father, I have not given instructions to my children to remove them from my fellowship. He will not give you instructions that removes you from your fellowship with him. Matter of fact, he'll give you instructions that make you fall down or bend down or sit down and say, if you don't do it, it'll never get done because I can't do it by myself. That even comes to praying in the Spirit. That even comes in meditating the Word. Don't look far out there like you're sent to Africa, which some of you are. I understand the calling. But you don't have the grace that is necessary to do it on your own. Even the praying in the Spirit. Lord, I need your grace to continue praying in the Spirit. And if I humble myself and ask for it, I will stay more consistent in praying in the Spirit. Oh, or if you want to use the word fasting, you know, if you want to use the word meditating, if you want to use the word waiting on the Lord, if you want to use co-laboring, if you want to use praise and worship, all of them is, you know, it is the attributes of the message of fellowship. It's total fellowship. This key is my delight to give you. I speak these things not in disappointment, but in joy that these words can be spoken to you. You are receivers of my truth. And there are many things I have yet to say to you. As you hear and embrace this key of hearing my words as my life to you, you will be ready for the things I am preparing you for that I will say to you if you take this key. Preparation for what I'm about to say, and I'm going to say to you personally, if you take this key. Great is my delight, and great is my joy that I may come now and say these things to you. Your heart has given him permission to say these things to you personally. My words are life to you, and abiding in my word is discipleship in you. As you follow these instructions I give you, more instructions can come. I will speak to you as family, and I will speak to you as sons within the family, or I will speak to you as daughters within the family. But what I've just said, I've said to the family, or I've said to the body of Christ, whichever word pleases you the most. What I say to one, I say to all, unless I specified. So I'm saying this to everyone that knows me. This is one of the keys. This is one of the instructions. You know, if you hear what I have to say, pray for ears to hear. I'm saying this, and I have said this. Great is my joy this day. So, let's put it into practice. This is two of the words that the Lord has said this year. I think, the dates are there, January the 18th. I could pulled another 10. They're all out on the website. You know that. You're able to get them. I'm only reviewing what most likely some of you have already read. Some of you have already turned them into praise and worship. Some of you have turned them into confessions. It's just wherever you walk and wherever fellowship level you're with the Lord. But this, you know, this is not something that you have just heard. A portion of these things you already know. And I'm just ad-libbing on it. You are marked for a great revival. It is my great pleasure to bring things to you before they happen, that the joy and rejoicing when they come to pass, it's his thrill. He was saying, I have lots of fun with you to tell you things to come. I'm a God of surprises. I take great pleasure in not teasing you, but in telling you the truth ahead of time so that you can walk by faith into it and you can walk by hope that I give you into it. We know hope that's seen brings faith, or hope that's not seen cannot bring faith. I really love talking to you about the future. I really like sharing with you what's to come. It gives me a great thrill. He just loves it when the things he promises to you come to pass. He's talking to us. He's talking to you. He's talking to the family. As time goes by, you will see me in my power, and you will see it coming to more and more of a fullness as this revival I have given to you begins to manifest. If you're keeping notes, and if you want to highlight this, do you see that he changed? Some of you English majors may know better than I. He changed the verb. He's put revival in past tense, that he's already given it to us. He's not a man that he can lie. He chose to say it exactly that way because that was what was in his heart. I just want you to know, I have given you this to you. I have given to you begins to manifest, past tense. So rejoice and be glad and worship for the ones who will be born again. You have to know this. You can't just hear it. I don't know how to explain it more. Lord, am I rejoicing? Am I rejoicing? And am I worshiping? And I am glad for all the people that are going to be born again. 1,000, a minimum of 1,000 being born every week from the family of the prayer center. That's 52,000 at the end of the year, and there is not a building in Tulsa or anywhere will hold the 52,000 that are born again people that are going to be born every year. Not one year, every year. And every one of you have a part to get ready for it. You talk about using the internet. You talk about websites for every known language. They're not all the 52,000 at the end of the first year are not going to be all English speaking. Who's going to nurture them with the revelation knowledge that we already have? Who's going to nurture them? Who's going to identify those that were born again when he told us they're going to have a full set of teeth? If they have a full set of teeth, they're going to have to be eating something, and we need to be prepared for them to eat. Because they're going to go out and they're going to spread this revival, and you're never going to know them, you're never going to see them, and their revival is going to break out because they were entered into a revival that the anointing is there at that level, not at this level. At this level, they're going to, you know, they're going to evangelize. I mean, you talk about a hospital being empty. Somebody was talking about holding a child that never seen his mother and stuff. You know, that's nice. That's going to happen. But I want it on video. I want it in the world. Because how all those people see that child being so happy, we don't have a right to keep it to ourselves. Because around the world, when they see it, the same anointing, the same Holy Spirit, the same faith, the same encouragement is going to go through and go to the world. A minimum of 52,000 a year is almost nothing. You know, don't despise the day of small beginnings, because that's just the beginning. Just the beginning. So rejoice and be glad and worship for the ones who will be born again. Everyone that's on our list, when the Lord said, all you have to do is mention their name every day. Just mention their name. And they will be in heaven with you in all of eternity. Just mention their name before me. Lord, here's a list. Right here. I mentioned this box. I don't know all their names. But Lord, I put this box before. I'm mentioning it today. Today. And I'm rejoicing. I'm rejoicing. So rejoice and be glad and worship for the ones who will be born again. You let me move through this cities with my revival. For my great desire is to have a great revival and multitudes to be saved. But I must have something to work with. Hi, must. Hello, must. You're the must. You're the one. You're the one. Period. You're the one. Be strong, for these days are ahead, and you are marked for a great revival. So once again, so rejoice and be glad. It has had its time in getting here, but it is going to manifest. So be strong, be patient, and believe what I have told you. A major step has been taken. A step has been taken, a major step in the direction that has been set for this hour for you to receive what I have sent. I've already sent it, what I've sent. I've sent the revival. None of us, well, I take that back. There may be someone that you've entered into a place with him that you know you have taken what he calls a major step. But the majority of us, including me, I'm saying, what step? What step? What major step? And he has chose at this moment, or I have chose not to be alone with him enough so that he can tell me what the major step is for me. But he's saying a major step has been taken. And he says a lot more. Let's read on. A step has been taken, a major step in the direction that has been set for this hour for you to receive what I have sent. And you will see the changes begin to take place. So be strong and know what you have been believing for is going to begin to happen. And for me to have this taken into this time zone, then going to the next and the next, I will be able to outpour even a stronger revival. And for me to have this taken into this time zone, it is like he's congratulating us. And I'm talking about everyone that's listening. It seems like he's graduating or giving us congratulations that something we have done for him to be able to take this into this time zone, not the next, but into this time. Whatever you are doing, whatever you have done, you have brought it into this time zone. And because you have, I'm going to be able to outpour a stronger revival. What a joy. So rejoice, once again, so rejoice, like you have already been there. That's putting faith into action. That's really putting hope into action. Rejoicing for the revival, even in the midst of where we're all walking. But it's possible, or he wouldn't ask us to do it, and our born-again spirit is doing it because it's embraced these words as truth. So rejoice like you have already been there, and you will have a great time with me as we make this journey across this desert. I believe he just classified the whole world as a desert where there's no water, the laborers are few, but we're going to walk right into it and bring the water. And we're going to walk into it rejoicing. See you in 25 minutes.